morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Friday, July 24th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
The way we answer water questions now will change the course of Cascadia in the not-so-distant future, and Bull Run is the key issue.
We continue to follow the biomassacre as it sparks and flares on the periphery of future visions of Cascadia.
And as the week draws to a close, President Obama's health care plan is looking a little peaked, but still alive.
Portland area weather, cloudy early, then gradually clearing, high around 82. Tonight, mostly clear, temperatures in the lower 60s, and it'll be warming, hot by Sunday.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Well, yesterday we had in Coos Bay a pivotal meeting. The outcome is ambiguous. And joining us again today is Jody McCaffrey, lone citizen activist opposing the Jordan Cove LNG terminal that's being proposed for our state's coasts. Good morning, Jody. Thank you so much for being back with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, there was a meeting yesterday, and the official news release says the company proposing a liquefied natural gas terminal on Coos Bay's northern spit has received a renewed vote of approval from Coos County commissioners. What does that mean?
Well, that just means they, like they did previously, approved this conditional land use permit based with certain conditions. Interestingly enough, some of the issues at LUBA that were remanded back did not really get cleared up, kind of like Astoria, the same thing. They just reapproved the same thing in some instances that LUBA had rejected back to them. So I don't understand some of why that occurred.
The possibility of appeals, of course, is what sort of role is that going to play as this whole drama unfolds?
Well, their decision could be appealed, and then it would go back to the Land Use Board of Appeals. And that's something we'll be looking at. I think there's some issues that I think are pretty relevant that we probably should appeal. That'll have to be a decision we make, and if we have the funds to do it and that kind of stuff.
Jody, what sort of you and others down there who are opposing the LNG, what sort of public support do you have?
Well, the people, you know, that was what was interesting about yesterday, because they made this an on-the-record hearing, not a de novo hearing, which you could add more information. They cut off the date for testimony on the 13th. They sent out the notices of the hearing on the 2nd. Most people didn't get it till the 6th, so we had less than a week to get testimony in. Even the tribal attorney was there yesterday requesting additional time that the record be left open, and they were just like, they were just doing whatever the developers' attorneys were wanting, which was no, you close the record, you know. So a lot of information did not get, relevant information did not even get into the hearing. So it's interesting that the way this all played out, but it was very stressful because they had two of their high-powered attorneys and we had me.
Yeah.
And that was very unsettling. But you know what? The citizens should be listened to by their county commission, both in Astoria and in Coos County.
Is there any chance?
The county commissioners are not listening to us.
Is there any chance? What are the chances down there in your area of recall similar to the one in Clatsop County?
Well, there was an attempt recently to recall one of the county commissioners, and it, you know, he didn't make it by much, but he's still there, you know, until next year there's an election, and that's just an issue. We did, you know, it's difficult because one, it seemed like the vote went to the two county commissioners against the one that we basically worked hard to get in there. But, you know, it's when you have three votes, two can override one, you know. So the one attorney, Bob Main, that was elected last time, and he ousted John Griffith, who was an incumbent, he was thinking, why not give the tribe more time? I mean, what's the rush? And but he was outvoted by the other two, you know, commissioners. And I see that Astoria, they're actually going for recall. It's very hard to recall somebody. It's just very challenging.
But it does throw a wrench in the works. Thank you so much for that, Jody. And we want to have you back again to let our listeners know what's going on. This, of course, Portland, is of critical interest to anyone in the state of Oregon or anyone who really cares at all about Cascadia and its future. Thanks so much, Jody. Is, of course, a pretty much lone activist fighting the LNG developers in Coos Bay. Thanks so much, Jody.
Thank you.
In Clatsop County, two of the pro-LNG commissioners facing recall are starting to sweat. Jeff Hazen, chairman of the board of commissioners, voted to contest the recall. And the ethically challenged Commissioner Ann Samuelson, the other commissioner facing recall, cheapened herself by invoking love of family in her struggle to hang on to her seat. Columbia Riverkeeper is among groups opposed to liquefied natural gas terminals on the Columbia River, and some supporters of that group lead the recall. For the record, there wouldn't have been a recall at all if they had listened to their constituents in the first place.
Well, we're standing on the edge of a deadly chasm, green blindfold firmly secured. One misstep and we could wind up in a biomass grave. My guest this morning is a longtime forest activist and the former VP of the Oregon Natural Resources Council, now known as Oregon Wild. Michael Donnelly, good morning and welcome to Air Cascadia.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Thanks so much for being with us. Michael, talk a little bit about this hoax that's being perpetrated on Cascadia as a whole, this biomass idea based on the faulty premise that there is waste in forests.
Yeah, well, you summed it up right there, a faulty premise. What's going on is, you know, we've all heard about the Whopper being canceled, which was the Bush plan to increase logging and some of the remnant old growth. But at the same time, it was kind of a sleight of hand because they have increased logging on public lands. And the way they're going about it is they're logging it for biomass. And, you know, a few years ago, all the bio this and bio that came along, and we were going to grow our way out of dependence on foreign oil and all this. And, you know, immediately we see the problems of burning coal and burning corn and SUVs and so on. But what's happening is it's taken on a more insidious turn now, and we're planning, they have a plan to burn our forests for electricity. And they're doing
literally
it under,
up in smoke.
Yeah, up in smoke. They're doing it under the premise that we need to thin out the forest because they're a fire hazard or there's insects there. And even they're even saying that the plantations that the timber industry planted after they cut the original forest are overstocked and need to be thinned and so on and so on. Well, there are problems with the monoculture plantations, but there's other ways to deal with it. What's really going on here is a grab for biomass, turning just using tree fiber, tree flesh, as Wavy Gravy always calls it, into electricity. There's over 100 of these wood-to-electricity plants either on board, operating, or under construction, approved already across the country. And there's like 200 more of them in the works. There's ones planned in Oregon. There's a really big one at the Seneca Sawmill in Eugene has got planned. And, the biggest one ever actually has been in operation for over 25 years. It's, up on the Columbia River by Kettle Falls, and just tons and tons and tons of sawdust and small pieces of wood go in every day and are burned to create electricity.
It's amazing to consider that this is our first, last, and best idea for generating power. Like, we're literally back to rubbing two sticks together. It's a sad day. Well, thanks so much for that, Michael. That's all that we have time for today. We're going to be revisiting the question of biomass frequently. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Meanwhile, back at Hanford, construction has begun on an $80 million groundwater treatment system at the country's most contaminated nuclear site. Federal stimulus money is paying for the construction, which is the largest so far for treating contaminated groundwater at Hanford. Too little and too late for the thousands, maybe millions of people who have been affected. The price we pay for weapons of mass destruction.
Right, so it must be something in the water. We're paying for it years later.
Yeah.
The results are, hey, let's burn trees for power. Well, let the dredging begin. Work will begin in mid-August to deepen shipping lanes in the Columbia River near Longview and St. Helens. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers awarded a nearly $52 million contract to J.E. McAmis to do the work. The 103-mile-long Columbia River Channel Improvement Project, wait a minute, it's a channel already, is a 20-year project to deepen the navigation channel to allow, wait for it, larger ships and heavier loaded vessels access to inland ports. By larger ships, they are talking about the Q-Max tankers bringing LNG. Well, that's the way it goes. Liam, what have you got?
The Capital Press reports that the Oregon Groundwater Association thinks that the state jumped the gun on enacting fee increases adopted by the 2009 legislature. The association believes the fee increases shouldn't go into effect until after Kulongoski signs legislation enacting them. The association has asked the Oregon Water Resources Commission to intervene and stop the Water Resources Department from collecting the fees and to return the fees it already collected. Let the water wars begin.
Yeah. The question of water is the future of Cascadia. Here in Portland, we have Bull Run, free and clear, but that's not good enough for the federal government, which sees fit to allow industry to pollute the nation's streams and rivers beyond all legal limits. Yet the feds are keen to force us to adopt expensive, invasive, and unwieldy filtration devices in contravention effects on the ground. Next week, the city council is jumping into the fray. My guest this morning is Stephanie Stewart, land use chair of the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association. Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for being with us today.
Hello.
Well, talk a little bit about what the city council actually is considering when it comes to Bull Run and filtration.
Well, I can tell you first off that the proposal that they're putting forth before city council next week is a resolution that declares that they will no longer pursue legislative relief from LT2 and that they will begin designing and building a specific treatment plant called a filtration plant. And this is by far one of the most expensive treatment plant options on the market. Construction alone looks to be about $400 million, with interest that'll balloon probably to around $800 million, and it comes with a number of dangerous consequences. First of all, filtration is a self-fulfilling prophecy. We don't need it. The Water Bureau freely admits today that the regulation that's requiring us to treat Bull Run water is flawed. It doesn't belong here in Portland, that further treatment won't offer the people any additional health benefits, and that we don't need additional treatment to Bull Run water, especially not one that will protect us from harmful cryptosporidium, given that we don't have harmful cryptosporidium anywhere in our water system. When you look at filtration, you can see that in other municipalities, it's led to lower and lower water quality being sourced to go into the filtration plant to begin with, because once you have a filtration plant, you can accept lower quality water into your water system. And what you get out of that plant, while it will technically meet EPA standards for clean, it will be of a much lesser quality than what we have now directly from Bull Run. The Water Bureau told us last month that a filtration plant would allow them to create what they call a demand blend center, whereby water from the Willamette and Columbia rivers could be filtered and then served up to us. We'll then have the same worries that the rest of the country has about trace pharmaceuticals and Teflon and hairspray and a whole host of other garbage showing up.
And some really interesting drugs, too.
Yeah, really interesting drugs that we don't have to worry about today, because right now we drink the rain, and it's naturally cleaner than what the water would be coming out of a filtration plant, especially if we are accepting poor quality water like that from the Willamette or the Columbia.
Thank you so much for that, Stephanie. And, of course, we'll be following closely the results of the City Council meeting next Wednesday. Thank you very much. My guest has been Stephanie Stewart, Land Use Chair of the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association.
Thank you.
The war is over. Long live the war. At Fort Lewis tomorrow, there's a deployment ceremony for the 3rd Stryker Brigade as about 4,000 soldiers prepare to deploy this summer to Iraq. It'll be the brigade's third deployment to Iraq. Beyond all sanity, humanity, and common sense, the U.S. continues the madness of King George, nation-building abroad while the nation crumbles at home. While doing everything possible to show the world what a failure capitalism has turned out to be, We persist in our ill-fated attempts to export it to an unwilling world.
And just briefly, we are going to save the health care agenda wrap-up for Monday. Instead, let me just let you know that the film Rachel, about Rachel Corrie, is being shown at the San Francisco Jewish Film Festival, despite cries from Zionist organizations to shut down the film and prevent it from being shown.
This has been Headlines on Air Cascadia for Friday, July 24th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Todd Wilson. The interim KM News and Public Affairs Director is Trillium Shannon, in for Kathleen Stevenson on sabbatical. And I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us from burning the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.